Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I think us being queer and like loud about it, black and queer, is already one thing. And then adding parenthood to it, it really shakes the table, I think, for a lot of people. And so I think, number one, it disrupts a lot of things, but it also allows other people to feel heard and seen.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host, and you, my friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is and always has been to uplift, highlight, celebrate, and normalize LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And y'all, this is the season premiere of season 15. This is huge. This is so big. Welcome to season 15. And to celebrate season 15, I have brought a special guest co-host in who has been spoken of a lot on this here little show, but has never actually made an appearance. But I'm making it happen today. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please give a warm welcome to my mama, Mama Sue. Hi, Mom.
well, hello there, my lovely daughter.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast.
Well, thank you. This is very exciting and kind of a little bit frightening.
Why are you, why frightening?
Well, I've never, you know, it's one thing to even be recorded, but I just don't do this very often.
Listen, all y'all at home, if or in your cars or wherever you are, it's been 40 minutes that we've been trying to get this set up and figured out. I talk about technical difficulties, but this one's been rough only because Mama Sue uses hearing aids most of the time, but they're not working in this here program. So we had to figure it out. Before we talk about the guests who I interviewed and who will be coming in shortly, Mom, I just want to take a second to talk about the fact that this is season 15 of this show. This show has been around 6 years. What the?
I know. It's just amazing. And I've been listening and watching the whole time. And I must say, I've always been a supporter. You know, I've been a supporter and I'm always in your corner. But there was so much that I needed to learn. And I learn every time I listen to one of your episodes, I learn something else. And I spread the word among my friends when I'm with them to tell them.
I know. Basically, my whole Facebook audience is your friends.
It's true.
But yeah, Mom, you're doing the good work. You are a true ally. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I'm so lucky to have a mom who supports me so much and who's always in my corner.
That's true.
I call my mom almost every day when I'm on my way to pick up the kids. And usually I'm just bitching about something or other. And usually it's me bitching about the fact that I'm having trouble finding sponsors. So my mom's heard all about that. But we were having a conversation the other day, and that's why I said, Mom, you have to just come on the show and just say everything you say, because she says this to me all the time, but none of you hear it. None of y'all hear how an ally really shows up and listens and learns so much. You've grown so much since listening to this show, Mom.
I've learned a lot. I like to watch the last episode with you and Anne having just a talk fest. That was great. It was like I was visiting with you. And before that, you were, I think, a guest on another podcast, and you were talking about your coming out story. Mm-hmm. And it brought back a lot of memories, of course. I do remember when you came out to me, and you said it a little different than I remember it. But mainly, I was interested in your story about how growing up, you were the kind of the perfect girl or the good girl, and you just wanted to make sure you fit in, or I'm not exactly, you said it a lot better than I'm saying it now. But when I was listening to it, I was thinking, you know, no one suspected that you might be gay.
No.
Because you were just, you know, so girly. Even when you got to college, it was the same thing. You dated a guy. And I just never thought that. And I was thinking about myself. When I was growing up, I was labeled a tomboy. It was not a problem. A lot of girls were tomboys. Mm-hmm. Because we like to do things that were considered boyish. We like to play sports. We like to ride a bicycle. We like to ride skates. We were competitive and we were considered tomboys. And it was not a bad thing.
No.
You never would have been considered a tomboy in my growing up years. You would have been considered one of the other kind of girls.
I wear more makeup than you. You don't even wear makeup. I'm girly. I've always been girly. I think when I was five, I went through 2 years where I would only wear a dress or a skirt. Pretty sure. Yeah. And I think that you're right, Mom. I was like so caught up in being what everybody I thought expected me to be that I think I didn't even get to learn who I was till much later. And then, like, this is such an awkward conversation to have with you, honestly. So awkward. And every time I do an episode where I share something personal or private, I'm like, oh, shit, my mom's going to listen. Then my mom's going to be like, no, I was listening to the other episode the other day and you said, and I'd like to bring that up. Like, and then we have to go deep into it. So we have so many deep conversations about stuff like this that makes me feel awkward inside because of this show and this platform. But it's good. It's good. It's really good. And then it always ends up with you talking about like sex with dad or something. And then it like gets really awkward.
We did.
Oh, God, I know. And I'm the one who brought it up this time. Yeah, I was caught up with just being what I thought was perfect, which I wasn't. Nobody is. But
I thought you were perfect. You were always perfect.
Oh, Mom, this is the best mom. Best mom in the world over here.
Yeah, hardly. But yeah, that was very interesting. And so when I came into myself, I was attracted to boys. I got crushes on boys. I don't think I ever really thought about a woman that way. I've just learned so much from listening to your episodes and listening to all your guests. And
yeah, well, you told me the other day that your brother thought you were a lesbian.
He did. My brother, who I idolized, he was 8 years older than me and I idolized him. We were really close throughout. He died a couple years ago, but we were really close. And I think before I met Ken, he kind of indicated that maybe I was gay, but I just dismissed it. I didn't know what he was talking about. And then after I have kids and I'm everything is cool, I had a friend who I had been talking to my brother. I said, well, she broke up with her friend. And he said, well, I thought she was gay. And
her male friend.
Right. Yeah. My friend. Yeah. And the implication was he thought she was gay and he thought I was friends with her because she was gay or we had a relationship.
You guys were being lesbianic in the sheets.
Yeah.
And you were married to dad. Like dad was alive. So, okay, Uncle Walter. Well, you got yourself a lesbian daughter. So good job. It's probably all your fault.
I did mention that I never had any inklings to be with a woman, but I did wake up one time from a dream where I had a sex dream with a woman that I woke up and I was shocked. What was that all about? This was a woman, the kids were in nursery school. This was a co-op nursery school. We were all very close to each other. In this case, it was all moms that were working at the school. And this one single mom who I didn't really know her that well, she appeared in my dream and she and I were having some fun.
Okay. Oh, God.
And I was kind of shocked. I didn't know what that meant. I certainly asked Ken. I told Ken all about it. And then when I went to nursery school and I happened to see her, I, of course, didn't say anything to her, but I looked at her trying to figure out why did she appear in my dream? It was just the one time. It was very weird. I thought to myself, maybe it was, you may not want to hear this, but your dad and I used to watch porn and there were often women together, which would be a real turn on. I mean, you know, I liked what was happening there. So maybe that was it, but I have no idea why this particular woman showed up in my dream. I hardly knew her. It was very weird. Okay.
I'm done with this conversation. Oh, God, Mom.
Anyway, that was my episode with being with a woman. It was in my...
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. See, we would never have these talks otherwise. Okay. And you're just like your daughter. You just air it all.
Well, you know, we have a lot of aspects to our lives. So
we sure do. We sure do. I'm so happy I heard about that one. Okay.
Okay.
Well, but no, I want to talk to you about the guests, the interview that's coming up. It's Mylan and S.K. Stokes Kennedy, and they're this beautiful couple that they have a whole Instagram profile, and they have a whole, all, they're on all the socials, and they're really showing up and being an authentic, queer, Black family and showing like how, and they're a blended family too. And it's a really, they're just great. And I'm so excited to share this interview. But they talk a lot about their families and their families not accepting them and the really hard journey that they went through to get even where they are today. And it's not perfect, which makes me sad. And it just makes me, that's why it's so special to me that I have you and that you're here, even like helping me introduce an episode, because that's not the case for everybody. I'm really lucky. And my coming out was hard, but it could have been a lot harder. So.
Sure. Absolutely. I do feel for people whose parents have a hard time with it. It's, I don't exactly understand how that could be, but I certainly feel for the people that have to go through that.
Yeah. You can be everybody's mom.
Not that uncommon.
No.
It's a shock. However, episodes like yours and people, you know, representation matters. That's what you have taught me so well. Representation matters. I think your program should be on television.
I
should
have
a weekly program to highlight all of these episodes, because then it becomes more matter of fact. Oh, no problem. Uh-huh. It's just like you say, the young people today, your kids and people in that generation, they're not going to have the same kind of bad feelings that people in my generation or even younger than me still carry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We need more representation so we can have a lot more normalization. That's saying
absolutely.
It. Yeah. But you see my beautiful set behind me, Mom? I have a whole setup now for the those who are watching the videos, which you can watch on YouTube and Spotify now, by the way. I have my trophies behind me, my Signal Award trophies. So yeah, you should all go to Spotify, subscribe to Spotify and watch those videos on Spotify, because it helps get my numbers up on Spotify. And then maybe then I can have some ads through Spotify. The struggle is real, y'all. The struggle is real to get those sponsors. We have some.
We need to all go through Spotify instead of YouTube?
Yeah.
Does it matter?
I prefer Spotify because YouTube is full of trolls who like to post homophobic comments on me. So I don't like YouTube right now. I'm still posting stuff there, but I try not to look because I don't like people or they don't like me.
Spotify is where I should go. Okay.
Yeah. So everybody go to Spotify, the Queer Family Podcast. You know all the stuff. Write a review, hit that star button or all whatever it is. I really want to roll this tape. Don't forget, you can support me on Patreon, like my newest Patreon member, Kate Cook. Thank you, Kate. I see you. And you can pay for the full year up front if you want on Patreon. And it starts at just $2 a month. So go check out the tiers. Go support me on Patreon. That would be really great. And don't forget, I always want to hear from you all. So if you have a comment for me, or if you want to share your story, or you just want to say hi, you can even give me a voicemail at 646-470-1840. Drop me a line, say hello, tell me a little something about yourself. Do all the things, follow the Queer Family Podcast on Instagram, all the places, TikTok, YouTube, all the places, and enjoy this interview, y'all, with Mylan and S.K. Stokes Kennedy. It's a really good one. Can't wait for you to hear it. You want to say it, Mom? Helen, Beulah, Nicole.
Helen, Beulah, roll the tape.
Trigger warning. There is mention of a miscarriage in this episode. Please take care of yourselves when listening and enjoy.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, SK and Mylan.
Hello, how are you?
I am wonderful. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have you beauties here with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. It's been a long time in the making. Listeners at home, we scheduled an interview a while ago, and then, you know, parent life happened and we weren't able to do it. And without further ado, SK and Mylin, can you please give us, just to put you on the spot for a second, your elevator pitch, 30 seconds of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. On your marks, get set, go.
We are SK and Mylin Stokes Kennedy. We are in Southern California. We are from California, Northern California originally, but we're here now. We are both creatives by trade, art, and an interior designer. And we are just...
We use our platforms to represent for Black, queer, love, and families.
All of that.
30 seconds.
Boom. That was beautiful. I actually didn't think you were going to make it. Okay, so let's dig in. Mylin and SK, can we, you know what, let's take it to the beginning. Let's take it to way back when. Your followers probably need a refresher anyway. Like, when did Mylin and SK meet? How did this all happen? When did the magic begin?
Oh, man.
The magic began on a cold winter night in Sacramento when SK walked into my Bible study group. Mm-hmm.
This is true.
And so when I saw her, I was just like, I want to be her friend.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
That's what I said.
It was really, I saw on everything. She still to this day tries to be like, I was plotting and I was not. I was like, I really
came in here trying to meet the Lord. And you're over here plotting on me.
I was not.
I believe it.
I just want my.
She comes out afterward like, you mentioned that you used to be gay. I'm like, I'm really struggling also with that.
Oh.
And that's literally our story. She brought it up.
It was literally her first time within our Bible study. I always say that it was a diverse group, but she's like, it wasn't that diverse. That's why I was like drawn to like, oh, a Black girl's walking in here. We're going to be friends.
I have so many questions. So wait, okay. Okay. Bible study. So.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Were you okay?
We can go there.
Let's talk.
It was a very long time ago.
Yeah, well, let's talk.
Yeah,
about
it was a very long time ago.
So we were not living
and we were also young.
Yeah, how young?
I was 19.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of course, I was living a very homosexual lifestyle. That was the problem, is what everybody had convinced me, right? Oh. Like, I couldn't, and my grades weren't good. I dropped out of school and I wanted to do this for work, but it didn't work out. And so, like, the people in my life were like, it's because it's because you like them girls, you know, it's because you're not doing the right thing. Your life's falling apart. I convinced myself that maybe they were right. I was like, I'm going home. I'd lived in LA and then I was literally coming from LA, going back home to be like, I just need to start over. You know what I mean? Everybody's telling me I'm making the wrong decisions. I just need to start fresh. Maybe I need to revisit church.
Aww.
And this is no shade to anybody in our community who still frequents church, just to be very clear.
I love that you say that. And yes.
Everybody live and be your best selves and do whatever feels right for you. But at back then, we were not approaching it like that. I was approaching it like doing the best thing for my mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was not thinking about myself at all, actually. Yeah. I just was kind of lost, you know, but I thought I was maybe not. And so I was very adamant and very confident about, I've got to get rid of this thing. And so I'm here to do that. Mm-hmm. And then this girl. What?
Now.
She's like, we should be friends.
Yeah.
We should be friends.
Friends.
She said. It wasn't very long after.
I was very serious too, because I was on a similar path of fighting my homosexual ways.
Yeah, the
being
good fight.
Raised in the church, Christian parents, that I had a long-term relationship engagement in college. When that ended, I know it's so much.
No,
there's so much to our
story. This is amazing.
Yeah. And that's kind of what happened. We went to school.
We were
like, let's be our true selves. Mm-hmm. And then life was like, but maybe you need your parents. And they were like, you can't be your real self over here, girl.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be our version of you so long as you're over here. Literally for both of us. It kind of happened at different times, but it was literally kind of the same story. And that encouraged us to we met. Mm-hmm. We were definitely friends for a couple months. But then I think after that, we knew pretty early on that it was like,
It had to happen. It was meant to be.
And I had a 2-year-old.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hold up. Okay. Take it back. What?
I got pregnant my senior year of college with a friend.
Okay.
After a big breakup in college, she ended up dealing with a friend and got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And by the time I met her 2 years later, she had a 2-year-old. So I think initially I was like, oh, there's nothing. That's not even what's happening. But instead, I think as I learned her story and as we learned each other, yeah, we realized pretty quickly that we were probably going to be together.
Meant to be, like I said, like it seems like it's very much meant to be. This engagement, though, the engagement you alluded to, that was to a man or to a woman?
It was to a woman in college. Oh. And so that was my longest relationship with a woman, actually. It was 2 years in college. And then it was a really, really bad breakup. And so a mutual friend, I am bisexual also. Mm-hmm. So with a friend, we ended up getting together. He proposed. We were then engaged. And I was, you know, fighting my queer ways. And my parents were so happy that I had a baby and I was in a relationship with a man. And like, I was living the heteronormative life that they had always planned for me. And mm-hmm. I just kind of got to a place of like, I don't want to get divorced. And that is what I see in the future. Like and so I can't go through with this marriage. Like I can't go through with the engagement. So I broke it off.
Wow. Wow, that's intense. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. And that was at the start of our relationship. That was when we were like children, dating, mm-hmm. thinking we were like, you know, trying to figure it out. And it's so funny to look back on it now because it doesn't feel like such a big deal. But back then it was like everything. Yeah.
And also we had like our parents in our ear, specifically my dad telling me that I can't raise my son with a woman. Like, this is not the way. My son's father and his family being mm-hmm. like, don't do that. Like, you're going to mess up your child, like, you know, all of that stuff. And so I was battling that internally. It was a rough time.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine. Oh my God. And so it evolves into more than just a friendship. And so you decide, all right, we're together. We're going to do this. How does it go down?
Yeah.
There's a lot at stake here, especially, you know, you're a mom already. You have a baby and the other family is not into it. So like, what goes down? What happened?
It wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't easy. And I think that I'm not going to speak for you. I'm going to let you say if it was difficult. I know that it was difficult for you. I think that I am a very, I don't know what the right word is. I'm kind of black and white. I'm like all or nothing, in or out. Very much like we could try or we can't. And I'm not just about our relationship, but about every relationship. You know, I think when I first came out, my dad sent a very nasty text. I was like, cool. I'm not going to respond. Right. Like, if you're telling me where you stand, he was upset. You know, you should change your name. You should change your last name. Don't ever call us again. You know, was very adamant about how he felt. For me, there's not a lot of room for communication. I'm always going to just take it and I'm going to call it. Clean cut. I'm like, okay. You know, people are like, you didn't even respond to that text? No. I screenshot it, deleted his number. And I keep it as a reminder, like, he told you not to call him.
Yeah.
Move on. You know, I'm very much like that. Whereas her relationships and her family, that dynamic was not necessarily there for her. She very much valued at the time, her father, his opinion, the opinions of, you know, her child's father, you know. So a lot of it was me stepping back. A lot of it was me throwing my hands up, like, to be clear, this is where I am. This is what I want to do. This is who I want to be with you. I won't infiltrate your feelings about whatever you want to do. Like, it was really important to me to like, I would love to help you make those decisions, but they're not for me to make. So if you do feel so inclined, like, it would be very, very sad. Like, I would be sad for us to break up. I'd be sad for us to be apart. But because we don't operate the same, I also don't expect you to just cut your family off. You know what I mean? I maybe am more comfortable doing that, but I know I could see that it was maybe not the same for her. And so it went a lot of different ways. It went with us dating for a while, finding our sweet spot, being happy. It went to her baby's father kind of going back and forth with us about where Cameron was going to live, you know, these sorts of details. Mm-hmm. Her finally telling him that we're together, that we live together, what backlash that had. You know, his sister would call to tell her about what she's doing and not to tell Cameron so that he doesn't tell her kids, right? Like, just so much that made it harder on her to be her true self than it would have been for me, because I'm like, oh, you know? So I had to kind of like allow her to go through those feelings and make really the best decisions for herself in that time. And I really did what I could to get out of the way and just support, you know, as her girlfriend, I think, at the time.
That's heavy. It's so heavy. Are you still cut off from your family?
Well, no. The way that it typically works is once they see something of value, they usually will reach out. So somebody sent them a picture of me pregnant and they realized that, oh my God, God forbid I lose an opportunity on the grandchild that I feel entitled to. So no, my parents reach out.
That was 7 years later?
Yeah. Years later.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, we got married. We had a wedding ceremony. My parents were not at
that time frame.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We're going to get to that. And we're going to get to the reunion of the family. But let's get over to, all right, how did this go down? How did this go down with baby daddy and families and all the things?
So I did end up having a moment where it was too overwhelming for me. We had like a 2-day breakup. Yeah. I really don't even know the time frame. And low-key, in us revisiting a lot of this through our YouTube and stuff recently, like in the last year, like things have been popping up that even she remembered that I didn't remember, like time frames of things. And so I low-key even had forgot about that breakup. Even 2 days apart, it was like...
It was too much.
Yeah. I was like, no. Okay. Yeah. F them. This is where I want to be. And... if you're in it with me, then we will figure this out.
And literally, and 2 days is accurate. It was like, I don't think I can be with you because I can't see myself. Like, what do I tell my son? I don't know if I can do, like, how do I raise him? I think that what they were saying, she was regurgitating finally. Mm-hmm. Like, they had gotten through to whatever she was feeling. And I said, okay. And I think even that response kind of shocked her. Like, what do you mean? And I was just like, you have a son. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that feels like. You have a feeling. I don't know what that, you know what I mean? Like, if you feel that strongly that it's wrong to do that or to raise your child that way, or you don't know how to, I won't force you. I was like, let's call it. And as smoothly as it started, it was very smoothly kind of stopped. And then I think like a day passed. And
a date passed.
This guy. I did go on a date in the day that we were broken up. This sits with her for whatever reason. Not that I was broken up with.
She remembers that.
Tumultuous way. Well, she remembers that. She remembers that. Because she was really like, how are you on a date already?
And like, it was just had them lined up. They was ready. I was like, no. I'm locking this down. Yeah, we're not doing this shit. No,
came back real quick. Like, mm-hmm, never mind. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I thought that was an option.
It's not.
And right after that, she like told her mom. She moved in full time. Like, it became like, okay, now the ball is actually moving. Mm-hmm. And that really was it. I mean, we lived in our home in Sacramento up until then. We had a little bit of issue, and I won't get into it too much. Just about like who was going to keep Cameron with her, with his father, and he started to give us pushback. And, you know, and it just wasn't worth it. So then we ended up just moving down here together. And then we got married.
A few months later. Mm-hmm. We thought we were going to do this big wedding, but we had just made a quick move out here just so that, you know, for Cameron, for all of that. And so
it was like,
let's just do this.
It was also kind of the time in our life where everybody was still feeling entitled to, you know, their opinions. And so we didn't need a big wedding. I didn't need to invite a ton of people. It was like, you guys can stay where the hell you at. Mm-hmm. We will do this in the way that feels really good and natural for us. And so we literally got married with 40 people in our apartment. Like, nice. I just kind of dressed up our apartment. We had a little courtyard that we set up. It was the cutest thing.
It was so cute. She came up with the idea that we would do a New Year's Eve wedding and we wouldn't kiss until midnight.
Yeah.
So our anniversary is January 1st.
Oh, that's so cute.
Every year we're like, somebody put up fireworks. How? For crazy.
Congratulations every year.
Yeah.
Clean break. Like, okay, we're going to cut this off so that there's space for you to really heal and mend your, because, right, there's so much in that. There's so much internalized shame that comes with being told constantly, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. We all have it. I mean, we all have internalized shame. So that's like a great move. Okay, here we go. We cut it off. Here we go. Yeah. Let's do it. And then it's like a whole new.
And cut it off as much as you can, right? Like, his father was still fully involved. His dad is a full-time father, you know? Mm-hmm. I won't be like, he's the greatest dad ever. He's but he is a full-time dad. He's father. He's present. He's in his child's life. So there still was a lot of that to deal with. And I mean, with any relationship where something as important as a child is involved, there is always going to be some give and take. And I think that people often see us now and they're like, how do you guys have such a beautiful blended family? And I'm like, that's a decade. First off, looking at a decade. You're also looking at people who have finally been honest enough with themselves to like move fully on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for a long time, he was like, this is not the right decision. Like the family is the right decision. We have a child together. Like we don't get along. me and you fight, but like we have a child. So the right thing would be for me and you to be together. And why would you, like, he just could not wrap his head around it for a long time. The other thing is like having your own stuff, you know, you finally started, now you're dating, right? And now you're finding love. And like, now you're getting to a space where you don't necessarily need to pull our energy because you're lacking, you're getting energy from somebody who wants to give it to you. you know what I'm saying? And so like, I feel like all of that takes a lot of time. It's not just like a blink of the eye. It's everybody is evolving and moving and changing. And then we're finally getting to that place. And that took years.
Yeah.
It took a lot of time.
It takes time. It's not easy.
It's not, but like, I feel like once, when it comes to the co-parenting part of it, I feel like once each person finds their person and love, you know, and when you put the child first, then you're able to kind of find your way back onto the right path. And it was once he got married that things really started to smooth out a lot more for everybody. Mm-hmm. Now we're, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy-go-lucky, co-parenting, blended family.
and that comes with its challenges because we're not all the same people. It is at least from a space of love now.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It's no easy feat from everybody I've talked to who have to co-parent. That would be very hard. And so many people in the mix and all the things. All right. So you did it. You got married. You're working on the co-parenting. When does talk of having babies come into the picture on top of everything?
That was
a couple years after, I guess.
Yeah. We got married 2015. We started trying in 2017.
I just woke up one day and I was like, I think I want to carry a baby. I feel like we never discussed it before. We knew that she'd eventually carry again.
Yeah.
I think we knew. And then I decided one day that I was like, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, how the things go. I don't know, my bodily, my body said, I want to do this now. And so I told her, and it was we should look into this.
Well, we're going to dig into like how you did it, but I want to ask, because my wife did the same thing to me, like, but it was, we had already talked about babies. Oh, yeah. And it was always going to be me. And then literally like the week after we got married, we were like at a bar having beers, as you do. And she turned to me and she goes, you know what? I think I want to carry. And I was like, what? Like it was like, it threw me for a loop because it was not expected. Yeah. So did you, like when you were little, did you have dreams of being a mom? Did you have dreams of pregnancy and things like that? Or was this really just like all of a sudden turnaround?
So I say I all of a sudden felt like that. And I think that I did, but I do realize and I can recognize that I've always, as a child, seen myself as a mother. Now when I'm with my mother and I'm hearing her talk, like she's here a few months ago and I had said something about how I would never be pregnant again. I mean, I said it like that, like, who would ever do that again? You know? And my mom was like, yeah, right. And she was just so taken, you know, like, don't talk like that, you know, very hurt by the sentiment. And my mom is an immigrant, you know, she comes from a different world, a different time. She genuinely feels like that is her worth. That is what is meant for her. It's like, that's what I'm here to do. And she's religious, you know, all of those reasons kind of make her like, but you're a woman and we are women and you have to. And I'm like, I actually don't have to do shit. I often am like, don't talk like that. Yeah, I actually don't have to do anything. But it made me realize that when I was a child and I was seeing myself with kids, I think I was just hearing my mom in my ear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just something so natural that somebody has been saying to me forever. Well, when you're married, your husband's going to think you can't wash dishes like that. When you're older, you're going to need to do this for your babies. You know, it's just something that somebody has told me a million times. I don't actually think it's something that I was like, I didn't have dolls. Like I wasn't rocking babies. I wasn't feeding them. I wasn't doing none of that.
Right. It's like in the air we breathe. It's just a part of the cosmos. And it's like,
yeah, it's coming up a bit or something. It's just like,
and the thing is,
out of our control.
Like the thing is, like the world could learn so much from queer folks because we're changing the world. We're changing things. We're like putting everything upside down and opening it up and saying, well, why? Why? We don't know. Yeah. It's not that
way. Why do I have to?
Yeah. So you decide, all right, I think I want to carry. And so what happens? What'd you do? What was the plan? What'd you do? How'd it go?
I had just started my career. So in a light way, I can say we were broke. Like there wasn't any real money to put towards trying to make a baby, mm-hmm. Especially after mm-hmm. we learned what those numbers actually total. And so you were like, okay. So the first thing was we tried to consider a known donor, which at the time I had a really good friend and we tried once, it worked out. And then I miscarried. We had, what was the... Something about that egg not really being fertilized.
Ectopic?
It's fine. I can't think of the word. Maybe. We should do a little bit of research.
Yeah. I tell the listeners all the time, we are not scientific at all on this podcast. Yeah, if you are looking for scientific terms, go somewhere else.
There's a million podcasts for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a podcast for you.
Exactly.
But that's over here, this. Maybe ectopic.
Basically, the pregnancy wasn't viable and we had to take something to... force the miscarriage.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. and I think after that, that donor didn't necessarily want to continue trying. So we went on a little bit of a break, scouring the internet and like trying to find the right ways to do this, trying some other options. And then we knew that it was a known donor was really the best route. Mm-hmm. A year later, I think we tried for about a year. And then I thought of somebody who we both know who was a friend of hers from before I met her, but I was like, you know, your friend is kind of great. So we had this conversation about kind of this perfect person, and it was the most seamless. I regret the time we wasted. Man, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, why didn't I think of this person sooner?
Yeah, you know? It was crazy.
Just the most. So divine. Yeah. I mean, it was nonchalant in the questioning, like, oh yeah, I could do that. Course. Of course I could do that. What do you guys want? Do you need me to sign something? Very just like, we were like, yes, maybe. Give us a second. We had to like get ourselves.
You don't expect it to go that way. You like.
No. We had got so many no's, a child needs a father in their life.
Yeah.
You don't even know from friends that.
You don't even realize us. Your friends are homophobic or that your friends are holding on to something until you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was your view. Thought like that. You know? So it was really a strange kind of process thinking of who could be worthy of this.
I want to give you props too, because that is not easy to ask. And you asked a lot of people, like you deserve props for that. That's so scary. And then to be getting the answers you got, that's like, that's really hard. Yeah.
I wanted to say we weren't just like throwing them out there to everybody.
No,
but there was a very small group that we had kind of listed.
Yeah.
One, we was a yes so soon that we're like, yeah. And then I think the miscarriage, maybe it just put a bad taste in his mouth, I think. And it, I don't know what. I was like, you can't be more hurt than us. Shit. But clearly I was like, I want to respect the scenario. I want to make sure that it works for everybody. Yeah. It just was more like, oh no, I think, you know, just really people started to show themselves. And then finally, when we asked who our donor is, it was so seamless, so simple, so easy. Signed paperwork pretty quickly. Yeah. Was like, what do you want me to be called? I can be as involved or not involved at all. You know, just like a match, like a perfect, perfect person. And has continued to be.
Yeah.
And my kids are still
for both.
And my kids are still, you know, everybody loves you. You know, so it's been great.
That's awesome. Okay. So papers are signed. Did you make the papers yourself or did you hire someone or did you get?
No, we did do it ourselves. I started the adoption paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
And wanted to do it ourselves because I had friends in San Francisco who had did it themselves without hiring a lawyer and went through the process great. So we did what we thought. We took, you know, a bunch of different donor agreement forms to put together and tailored it to us and what we needed and what we agreed upon, you know, and everything. Got that done. And then the process of the adoption is a whole nother full podcast.
I did it with a lawyer and even that was a whole thing. So,
yeah.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. And they just don't make it really simple.
No.
And I think that as everything is so new, you know, like they are just still figuring so much out. I'm like, get a team together. Okay.
Yeah.
Get somebody together and make these laws and make it happen. Like, it's not that difficult, you know?
There's enough of us already. Come on. Let's get it together, government. Let's start.
I think so. I think so. There's got to be one in the building. There's got to be at least one in the building.
So
make her the lead.
Yeah.
Them.
Okay, so you you get the adoption done, which took a lot of time. You got the paperwork signed. You get pregnant, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I do. He's great. We literally would set it up like 45 minutes on the drive, you know? We would literally be like ovulating on the way. Like, all right, let me know when you're up the street. And we would drive like the 40 minutes. We'd be like, we're bending the corner. We'd be like, okay, I'm coming down. He would literally open the door, let us in, and then he would like go for a run, you know? And like so we'd come in their room and it'd just be sitting on the bed in a perfect little ramekin. So great. It was great. And we'd be like, all right, here we go. Legs up. And we literally in-home inseminated with a turkey, you know, old school, you know, a kit.
Did you? Okay, so you, listen, you turkey basted it.
Yeah.
I call it turkey basted too, but you got a syringe and you did the thing.
Me too.
Yeah. I love that you did it like in his house. It was like a joint effort. That's as close as we can get. Come on.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
That's beautiful.
I'm sure some people have gotten closer than that. But not us. We haven't needed to. We did it just like that. It was like this. We backed out of his house like, thank you so much. I'll let you know if it takes. See you soon. It didn't the first one. The second month it did.
Wow. Okay. Then pregnancy happens and baby comes. That's child number two in the house.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. In the house. Mm-hmm.
And then we live a life with one small baby for a year.
Yeah.
I think it was a year and then... As soon as he hit a year, she was like, ready, I'm up.
Why? I don't know. But I really, at the time, me and my brother are 18 months apart. So I was like, I want, you know, and we had 10 years with Cameron, you know, just by himself. And so I was like, if we do this again, I want them close together so that they have, you know, they're just that close sibling bond. But my goodness. My goodness.
Well, they're starting. They're getting it now.
We still have some.
They were kissing all morning. They like now. It's like in the last month, I've started to see them actually become, you know.
I still spend my days as a referee and it's rough.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Oh, I know. Mine are 4 years apart and it's like constant. It's constant.
Okay? All day
long. Good to know that even with 4 years, you're still doing that.
So was it the same exact way that you did that the pregnancy happened?
Yep. Yeah. Same donor, same way.
When you approached him, he was 100% on board. No qualms about it.
Oh yeah. We would joke about it. Qualms. We'd be like, I'd send a picture of my beautiful baby. Like, I think we're ready for round two. And he's like, whenever you're ready, let me know. Like, we would just joke for a year until it was finally like, okay, I think we're actually going to get started now. And he'd be like, okay, well, just let me know. Just let me know. Yeah. I mean, that's how everyone should be.
Right.
In my opinion, you've got gallons. And I don't know. I'm just endless like, it's supply. Endless.
It sure is.
Endless supply.
It really is.
You every day, I'm sure that there's, so it's like, whatever. So
here you
go. That's how everyone should approach this.
I love that.
Yeah.
Everybody should. Everybody should be doing it. So you get pregnant, you have second. Can you tell me a little bit about like the relationship with your donor and like how, what's the family dynamic like? He's in your lives a little or a lot or like?
I think a mid amount.
Yeah. We have, you know, a distance between us, but he's very present. He has a relationship with the kids.
Yeah.
We know our donor, but it is anonymous to everybody else, even our close friends and family.
Oh, nobody else knows who it is?
Who it is, no.
Oh, wow. I've interviewed over 200 families, and that's a first, that having a known donor and then keeping it anonymous to, like, how do you do that? How do you keep it anonymous to the people around you?
It's hard work.
Yeah.
It is. But we just don't answer their questions.
Literally, it doesn't concern me. I think I've had somebody once or twice been like, I wanted to ask you, and I'd just be like, don't. I didn't share it. Yeah. I didn't share it with you. Right. I don't need you to guess and then expect me to be like, oh, you got it. No, just don't ask.
We happily share the process. We happily resource to other queer families about how to go about trying to conceive. But when it comes to who exactly the identity of our donor, we just feel like that is just something that we chose to keep private and personal for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
And within our agreement with this person, like they are totally fine with whenever either. With us coming out with it, us holding on to it, they just say that they want to be the first to tell their family, you know,
right.
Just because this is a somebody I know. So like our families know each other and stuff. So there's that aspect of it.
Right. And neither family knows.
Right.
That is amazing.
I at this age, I think that maybe some people suspect, but I really do feel like it's just not your business.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. just not your business.
Yeah.
Queer Family Podcast.
Hey, folks, this seemed like kind of a good time to interject because Mylin and SK's kids are going to interrupt them in a second. And then when we come back, you're going to hear us chatting about the interruption. And it's actually a great conversation that follows. But before I get into that, I want to share this new podcast that I discovered. It's called Two Lives. They're actually Signal Award winners as well. They just got a silver Signal Award in the Best Indie Podcast category. And basically, every episode of this show kind of highlights a person who faced darkness and how the darkness transformed them, much like my journey to this here little show. It's very interesting. So take a listen to their little trailer here and take a listen to the show. I hope you enjoy it. And then enjoy the rest of Mylin and SK. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast.
Coming up this season on Two Lives.
I've wasted too many years of my life focusing on what's wrong with me. What I have learned through this is that I am enough. Damn it, I'm good enough.
It was tough to disappoint my mother. It was tough to watch my father feel like he failed. That was hard. So, yeah, I turned my life around in prison.
It actually was very comforting to know I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I was a sick person trying to get well.
All that and more in season 9 of Two Lives.
Love is love.
Okay, I'll go help you. I'll go help you.
Okay.
I'll go
help She'll you. Help you.
I'll help you. Come on.
Yes, had to correct that quickly. Our 4-year-old. Yeah, he's on the spectrum. And so if it's not, you know, it's very particular how things get addressed and his processing of things. And that was about to be a quick meltdown if we did not go figure out what.
Good for you. That's a whole other experience too, parenting a child on the spectrum.
We got that diagnosis when he was 2, but I started questioning about it probably 4 months prior to his second birthday.
Can I ask you, just for listeners at home, like who maybe are dealing with similar situation or wondering, like what were some of the things that got you questioning about it?
I had just mentioned to her that Noxie was on the spectrum and that we just avoided a meltdown that you had to go immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so that was like 5, 4.
Yeah.
It was a countdown happening in real time.
What I had noticed with him 4 months prior to his second birthday is that he had an obsession with spinning wheels and he would do it this close to his face. So he would always be like spinning the wheels. If he was playing with a car, he would flip it upside down and then spin the wheels super close. And then sometimes like if we're calling his name, he just wasn't responding. Mm-hmm. He was like dazed out. And
then also language. I think that his early on his language development wasn't really You can't shut him up now. You couldn't have known that then because everybody's like, well, he speaks fine. I'm like, right. I know that. I'm just saying about a year ago, he couldn't formulate a question. He couldn't ask for anything. He couldn't whatever, but he could read the television. He could read the captions on the screen.
Yes.
I'm talking about words that like, I'd be like, what are you, what's happening? He'll shock anybody anywhere if he's just like pointing at signs and kind of reading them. Mm-hmm. But if you ask him what you want him to eat, he'll just point. You know, he couldn't kind of actually communicate in that sense. Mm-hmm. But we've done some speech therapy. We've done, you know, she got him to all of the programs and all of the
early intervention is
the answer.
Okay. Yeah.
And really just like finding the best ways for your kid. Yeah.
It's a unique, beautiful mind, right?
It really, truly is.
So beautiful.
That's really all we're saying. It's like, if we're neurodivergent, what are we really diverging from? You know, just kind of like the norm or like being able to sit in one spot with your hands in your lap and like you're able to like follow all the rules and be like everyone else, you know? I think that there's something kind of cool about your body and your mind actually rejecting that. Yeah. It's not like he's just being insubordinate. Like he can't. Yeah. I won't do that in that way. And I think that's really amazing.
It's actually kind of a theme of y'all's story, like diverging from the norm here.
Right.
Like, it's a thing.
I think you named this episode.
I think I might. Yeah. So you got the known donor. You've been able to keep it like the way you want it. You got your strong boundaries, which is so important and amazing. You have your 3 beautiful children that you are co-parenting one of and making it work, even though it's hard at times. I mean, like, you are. I just want to say and thank you for being just kind of a light for so many of us and so many folks who tune in to watch you. Because I didn't even mention, I think everybody knows, because like, they don't know who you are. They're living under a rock. If you're a queer parent, you know what I mean? But you use your platforms to show your lives. And it's, this kind of stuff is really important. And the fact that you're so open and honest and willing to help others, it is such a like breath of fresh air. And I just want to thank you on behalf of all queer families out there, you know?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely been a highlight for us of starting the page and like being able to even have a platform at all. I think us being queer and like loud about it, Black and queer, is already one thing. And then adding parenthood to it, it really shakes the table, I think, for a lot of people. And so I think number one, it disrupts a lot of things, but it also allows other people to feel heard and seen and like know that there's a source even to ask us. Sometimes we just send them the video that we've already done, but other, you know, but I think that even that is a resource, like knowing that you can go to somebody online and like, they're not just going to tell you to Google it, but we have personally done this, we personally experienced it. There's a million ways to do it. There isn't a right or wrong one, you know, really just kind of allowing people to find themselves in their own time.
Yeah.
And then there's also the curses, like people see us and think that they're like, I can't wait for this relationship, or I can't wait for my family to look just like this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of beauty in that, but there's also, you know, it's like the curse of social media. It's like, you guys are seeing a 10-year relationship.
Right. In a 9-second clip.
Yeah. You're not seeing somebody out of college pregnant with a baby with a guy who, you know, like, we're not seeing all of that. We're not seeing the back and forth
to get here.
You've had so many divergent experiences, right? Which has made you who you are, this beautiful, beautiful family that you are and show up to be. And it's true. There's so much behind that, but your experience can help so many folks. And that's what's so beautiful. Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad you're out there being proud, Black and proud and queer, and parents of one neurodivergent child and two others who are out there making it in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's not easy.
No, it is not.
Where can everybody find you if they are not already following you?
You can find us on Instagram at Stokes Kennedy. That's S-T-O-K-E-S Kennedy. Like John F. And we maintain that everywhere. So that's on TikTok. That's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Facebook, all of it.
Yeah. And that'll be in the show notes. So everybody can just click the link and go straight to it. Dad is back in your life and we didn't get into that. And I wanted to dig into reuniting with that part of the family.
Yeah. My dad is back in my life. And a lot of times what that looks like for me is cut and dry, but also open to change. You know what I mean? So I think that really what has happened is I married the right person and it benefits them, because had I married anybody else, I don't know that I would have gone out of my way to be a part of my family again. I don't know that I would have like allowed them to just come on back and be, you know, say their apologies and us just kind of move forward. And so because of that, I really feel like even what they pushed against, they don't even really see how that was a blessing for them, because Mylynn really does care about family. She really cares about, I think she talks to my mom more than I do. Like I don't maintain them. They really do value her. My sister, it's crazy the relationship that her and my sister have. And it pushes me to have those relationships, right? Like it forces me to have to call my mom, forces me to have to, you know, I talk to my sister as much now. And so I think that with my dad, him being so negative before, he's definitely had to fall on his sword a bit over the years, like since we've been back in each other's lives. And I don't really mind, I think. He's great. He definitely operates in the same way that he always has, but I kind of leave him at a distance. He definitely has shown Mylynn a ton of love and my kids a ton of love, you know. So that's really what matters, is that they are always showing love to my children, because like the moment it shifts, I'm like, hard no. Which is interesting, because over time, that's kind of what became of her father. You know, over time, he was like, oh, he did not support us. He made that very, very clear, even after we've started to have the children.
Oh,
yeah. And so just small things, you know, couldn't use her last name, her new last name, made it clear that, you know, Lennox wasn't the child I carried.
wasn't his biological grandchild.
And so like, you know, when you go out of your way to make stuff like that happen, you know, we're just going to kind of keep distance. So Mylynn has had some boundaries that she's had to put up. And, you know, I don't think that he feels hurt by them. He feels like if that's what you have to do, then that's just what you have to do. If anything, he's more.
I'm not going to put words into his mouth or feelings. I don't know if he's hurt or not. He has claimed that he is. He's claimed that, loves me and stuff like that, but that he can't use my last name, that he doesn't acknowledge my last name because he doesn't acknowledge this marriage is valid. He doesn't acknowledge the child that she carried as his grandchild. And that is what finally made me set up the boundary of like, well, I need to love you from afar. Yeah. So my father has never met either one of the littles.
Oh, wow.
So it's been over four years since I've seen him.
That's a really big thing in our families, right? A lot of times is the children that actually turn our parents around in many instances. And then sometimes it doesn't. Right. And that is so tough because that is a fear that is such when I was pregnant, I was so afraid. And this, I had the second one. So my wife had the first one, but I was still so afraid, like low key afraid, like nobody knew that her family wasn't going to accept the one I gave birth to as much as, and I was wrong. And it's beautiful. However, that's such a deep fear for all, like, if it's not a fear for you, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Are you paying attention? Yeah. Are you a parent? Yeah. Because I think that my child being rejected at all in any aspect, oftentimes if you hear a lot of parents of gay children, they often will say like, I just don't want the world to hurt my child, or I just don't want this thing. That may or may not be true, but it is a real idea. It's like, if you care about your child and you know what can happen to them, your goal is to want to protect them.
Yeah.
And so when that doesn't happen, when there's a child and it's actually like, oh yeah, no, ew. I think that really is a switch.
Yeah.
That really, any real parent is going to be like, I need to protect my child from anybody who thinks like that.
Yeah.
From anybody who would project anything like that onto a child, regardless of blood or regardless of any of that, regardless of your intentions to say something hurtful like that about an infant. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Not a kid, you know, or a teenager that's kind of mouthy. A literal baby is, it doesn't compute for me.
No.
And so I think we knew that we needed to put up some boundaries and really make space for our own family and what that looks like.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. And also, I'm so glad you have what you have and for your chosen family. Yeah. It's working out. Yeah. And, you know, he's the one missing out. He's got the loss there.
Absolutely.
This has really been such a pleasure. I'm so glad to know you. I'm so glad to have been able to just hear your story in person and be able to chat with you. And I love you too. I want you to keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep uplifting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Queer, Black, beautiful families like yourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We appreciate
Thank you so much. Us.
Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.